From the heart of Europe to the world, RTI.
The Big E, Eric Wiltshire.
Welcome back to part two of Postcard from Pop, but I can't keep up. It's so fast. We are debating the issue with the News of the World, which is Mr. Murdoch says is going to have one more edition. Lee thinks it will be the Sunday Sun on Sunday, coming out with a new newspaper. Very interesting. I had a look on the internet this morning. Not actually on the internet, public areas. But I had a look to see the sunonsunday.com. Yeah. And the sunonsunday.co.uk were actually registered 2 days ago.
That's right. Yes. That's right.
Yes. Private registrants as well.
So, No. One of them is through an agency, which could mean yes. One of them is to a UK citizen that's retained his privacy rights, which you can do in the UK. But one of them, there is an address for it there, and it could well be that Mr. Murdoch's going to have to pay an awful lot of money for those, isn't he?
Unless Murdoch already owns them, I can imagine Murdoch already owns them.
No, they were registered, Mark, 2 days ago. Yes. So the Sun.
Well, yeah, but Murdoch would have known 2 days ago that the News of the World was going to go. Yes. I'd have thought that Sunday Sun would have been registered years ago.
No, there's one of them is registered to a private individual, not a company. Mm. And under UK law, they have the right to remain private.
Why couldn't that just be Jim Murdoch?
They wouldn't do it, Lee, because of IP and all the rest of it. And equally, companies house laws about having your right address and stuff like that. But the other one was registered through a proper agency that registers them for companies, hence it's a .com. Right. So there's two there. But anyway, we will carry on slightly with this story because we want to get into something to help you out a little bit at this point. Mm-hmm. Because the main thrust of this whole thing, and I have to say, and I'm sorry, Lee, I'm not provoking you at all.
You might do.
I might. When this phone hacking got down to the level of hacking into widows of soldiers that had been killed in Afghanistan, which I've had the true honour to meet. And I do say honour to meet. And the ones that have been out here on holidays, they are just amazing people. And I've seen the absolute trauma of those girls who agreed to be interviewed by the Slovak press, who were being very gentle with them. I promise you, they were not being horrific, unlike normally. And to see their pain was outrageous. And I walked out of the hotel at the end of all this as they went off in tears to their rooms. And I felt the biggest piece of dog poo you could ever imagine. I felt atrocious. And the girls actually came out to me and said, no, don't feel like that. And we chatted and lots of other good things came out of it. But to hack into those phones, I think, is beyond theft. It's beyond murder. Yes. I just think it's despicable. Yes. But what can you do? Now, one of the things that the guys do, as Lee will back up, is they're not hacking into the phone per se.
What they're doing is
they're hacking into voicemail services.
Yeah.
Now, ironically, and I think you should tell your lot in your newsletter, Mark, one of the key problems with voicemail systems is they have an industry manufacturer's standard. Now, it can be 1, 2, 3, 4 zeros. It's just a handful of numbers. And the problem is, and I asked Lee this morning, and he'll back me up, have you changed your voicemail password? Answer?
Are you asking me to reveal to the world that I've not changed my password number thing?
Yes.
No, don't reveal that.
I have now. I did after Eric said it.
Yeah.
No, I haven't.
No. And I bet, this is the problem. You get new phones. Just imagine, if you've got a new phone, we accidentally leave phones in taxis, on trains, on planes, anywhere. They can fall out of your pocket. If you haven't changed the PIN on that phone, anybody, a spotty teenager can tell you off the top of his head what these codes are. And I will tell you that if you're using a Sony Ericsson, typically it's 4 zeros.
Yeah. Now, can I say that there are lists of these actually on the internet?
Absolutely. So please, can I beg and implore you to make it more difficult for the basic hackers, of which I think most of these people were, because when you go into something illicit, that's hacking. Change your personal PIN code, not your bank code, but change your PIN code on your phone and on your voicemail service. Yeah. That way round, your typical And I'm not convinced that the tech that was used was that terribly high tech. Because I'm not
sure it wasn't.
No, I'm convinced it's not. Just change, please, boys and girls, change your passwords on your mobile phone, on your voicemail, and regularly. And I can tell you as a person who works full-time in the IP industry or IT industry or internet protocol industry, on a regular basis, we change the entire company's passwords. It drives me nuts, my PA nuts, but it's just safety. And it's not because someone's going to do anything nasty, because they don't. Most of the hackers are just playing for fun.
Yeah, that's right. Can I just say something on this, though? I actually think it's a point that everybody's missing, particularly we're missing at the moment.
Yeah.
And that is very simply that I'm not defending the newspapers who did this hacking, particularly into the you know, the voicemails of widows and all sorts of victims. But I do want to make it clear that actually the hacking was done by private investigators and not necessarily by journalists. And there's never been a real suggestion that journalists have done it. Now, I want to say, right, and I'm not playing devil's advocate or anything, that if you hired a private investigator, you would not set out for him rules and regulations of what and how he could pursue whatever it was you wanted him to pursue. And when you got the information back off him, you wouldn't particularly ask how he got it. Now, I'm saying that in a newspaper, perhaps they should have asked those questions.
Yes.
And stop the private investigators.
One sentence, Lee, all I got to do is put one sentence. One sentence. Whilst abiding by and respecting the laws of the country.
I think that's right, and I think people have played fast and loose with that. And the other point that I want to make, because every, like I say, the reason the press doesn't get the public it deserves, right, is because of these things. Because everybody's focused on the press over this. Just remember that the Metropolitan Police, those who are there to protect and serve, took £130,000 off the News of the World for covert information. This is these people were operating at the dirtiest end of the stick possible, and obviously they had to use certain techniques to continue to operate in that. But the difference between the police and politicians is that police and politicians kept it quiet. The newspapers shone a light out of the crock of rubbish that they were working in and said, look in here, boys, this is the reality of it.
No.
Some of them did.
Hold on, boys. You're shouting over each other. Mark, your turn to respond.
Yes. Well, I think, you know, I mean, some of them did start shining the light laterally because now, you know, it seems to be the place to go and this is what the public wants. But at the time, these people were up for news, and even if they were employing investigators, and you're quite right to say most people don't ask where it comes, so maybe it wasn't obvious that it was obtained in this way. On the other hand, the information they received clearly had a confidential nature about it, had the character of confidence, and this is a legal phrase, incidentally, to use. Information can be confidential if you receive it, and it clearly has the character of confidence. It was clearly obtained by some improper means, and I think that then by using the information, I think they associated with themselves with it sufficiently to become criminally involved, if that's what it
is. No, nobody's ever said that any of this information was ever published.
Even if it wasn't published, I think the fact that these people associated themselves with this kind of information gathering and were receiving it and then continued to ask for more, whether or not it's published, you know, I think this all happened 10 years ago, and there's no suggestion that it's happened since. Well, we really don't know, and I mean, I think we'll have to wait.
That's what I'm saying.
Millie Dowler didn't happen 10 years ago, and our boys dead in Afghanistan didn't happen 10 years ago because at that time they were dying in Iraq instead.
When was Millie Dowler?
Millie Dowler was 2008, 2007, wasn't it?
Well, it was actually a bit earlier than that, but yeah, so we're talking 6 years ago. I'm saying that it happened a long time ago. There is no great suggestion that this has continued since the last time it was looked into and people were taken to task. I'm still not defending what happened. I think we're all missing the plot here.
We're all missing the plot completely. Do you know the one person who will decide what's right and what's wrong out of this?
What?
The public.
The jury.
The public.
The public, jury, yeah.
No. The public will decide because nothing really happened. I'm going to take you back 5 days, guys, until, namely, Ford jumped up and said, we don't like this. We are not going to advertise. The minute that Ford did it, there was this absolute avalanche of people saying, let's kick them in the pocket. The minute that happens, things started to act. I don't believe,
and if
Mr. Murdoch wants to tell me different, I'm very happy to read out a statement. I don't believe that if it wasn't for Ford and the other big advertisers saying, sorry, boys, we're not playing anymore, none of this would have happened in the last 48 hours. And I think the follow-on from that will be the public who decide what newspaper to buy or not, and they will kick it in the pocket or not. And it matters not whether Andy Coulson goes to jail, whether there's a jury involved in it. The bottom line of all of this will be the sales on the street. And the public will
decide. Of course it is, yeah.
And the public will decide. Don't care what anybody else says. The public will decide.
Of course, it will. That's absolutely it. And that's why the News of the World has been shut down and will come back as a homogenised version of what it used to be with something, and it will build itself up to be what it used to be.
I think we better move
on. I agree with you. I think it will.
Yeah, I think we'll have to move on because I don't think there's more we can add to that because there's too many debates going on. I love this one because I know a story about this one. Now the internet spells the end to the great Hollywood dream. The number of illegally downloaded films in the UK has gone up by nearly 30% in 5 years, new figures suggest. Oh dear, what have the Hollywood film people done this week then?
Well, I'm not in the UK, so it wasn't me.
Okay. What have the Hollywood film people done this week then, Lee?
I don't know, I'm tired now. You tell me.
He's tired, he's had to talk for 30 minutes. big news this week. If you're rich enough, you can now buy a set-top box from an organisation that works with Hollywood. Only costs you costs you £20,000.
And how much it is?
£20,000. And if you want a film on the day it's released in a cinema, it will come down. This you need a really good internet for this, I'll tell you. Your average one won't work. For the princely sum of £500, you can watch it once, in your house, and then it's deleted.
Well, amazing. Ludicrous. Then Hollywood shot itself in the foot.
Funny that, isn't it? They always tend to, at the time there's something big like this comes out, there's always a press release going, oh, poor old me, at the same time as they're launching products to get millionaires to cough up what is effectively 20,500 to get a
crazy.
It beggars belief. And apparently it's because the technology is too expensive at the moment. But you are talking gigabytes per film. And what I will say to the little darlings in Hollywood, you are nuts.
You are nuts.
Do you know why? Because anybody above a 13-age, spotty-nosed teenager will know that when you play it onto the television, you can record it off the television and you've created your own illegal downloads.
Even I was just going to say that.
It beggars belief, doesn't it?
Unbelievable. I can't. Well, I had a stance to take on that story, but actually, as of that point, with what you've just revealed, I'm not willing to take that stance. Hollywood, you are silly.
Barking. An elderly woman set fire to her Gold Coast home after putting her pyjamas in the microwave.
Why? Why did she put them in the microwave? What had she done in them that they needed this kind of treatment?
I don't think. Oh, I see. Yes. Well, it could be that, couldn't it? No, he can't think that. I think she was trying to dry them.
But
it depends how they got wet, doesn't it? I understand what you're saying.
Well, I'll tell you, here's one for Julian, if he's still listening. Many years ago, there was a well-known satellite magazine that put a big article on the back page. They said it was a spoof, ho-ho, whereby you would take your Sky viewing card, put it in the microwave for no more than a minute and a half, and by doing so would get free films. Mrs. Joe and Jenny Public did this and broke their cards. How wonderful.
Well, I think this, woman, this actually is a warning to people. You should not put anything in the microwave that you're not going to put in your mouth.
No. Absolutely untrue. Did you know...
Except you, your toothbrush.
Did you know you can buy...
Why'd you microwave your toothbrush?
Did you know...
Put it in your mouth.
Oh, I'll try again. Did you know you can buy slippers that you put
in... You
better
say that to your girlfriend as well, actually.
This is for... Mark,
I'm listening,
Mark,
Eric.
Mark, this is for Lee, sorry. So don't worry. Right, this is for Mark. Right. This is for Lee, Mark. Did you know, for people of your age, Lee, you can buy slippers that you put in a microwave to warm them up before you put them on your feet?
I think that's brilliant because I eat my slippers.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, it's a war. And you should never put anything in a microwave that's got four legs.
Why?
Because that'd be animal cruelty and you'd be dead.
Well, if the rabbit's dead and you put it in the microwave to cook it, what's the problem?
Yeah.
It'll explode.
No, it won't.
Oh, it will. Rabbits rabbit. Explode unless you fill them with carrots.
No. Do you know you can boil eggs in a microwave these days that used to explode?
They explode. They
no,
explode.
No,
they
no. You can put them in
a microwave. Put a hole in the top.
No.
You leave them inside the chicken.
You can put them in a microwave boiler and they will boil to a perfect quality in a microwave because I do it all the time.
Right. Why don't you just do it in a pan on your stove?
Because it's less washing up.
Yeah.
You're right. I have never ever actually washed my microwave up.
Well, you should do, because to be
I've got something to tell you.
Hang
honestly
on. Serious point before you do that,
don't wash your microwave.
You should wipe your microwave down, especially the door areas, because if you get bits of grit around the door, microwave radiation can seep through the door, and there are actually consumer tools that you can buy to check it. But the biggest problem is that the leakage around a microwave oven actually comes around the door area where people get little bits of grit from the food that cooks and goes hard. Door doesn't shut properly, it appears to be closed, and you can get leaks on it. Not so much these days, it was more with older microwaves, but you can still do it, so you should wipe around the edges and clean them, especially around the door area of a microwave.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I have to say this, Eric, because this is about you and it's something you're not aware of. Mark, this is a big moment, Eric.
What?
Eric, you were you were mentioned on the BBC this morning at 10 o'clock.
Was I?
No.
You were there, you were mentioned, because a man who will remain nameless, who we are well aware of and know, who works for the BBC, had got this scintillating programme about what you put in your dishwasher. Right. Now, that's a question that sets the world on fire, isn't it? What do you put in your dishwasher? Well, everybody was saying, I put my cups in there, my saucers, my plates and stuff like that. Somebody said they put the cutlery in. I sent him a quick email and said, my friend Eric from RTIFM puts his false teeth in his dishwasher. He says they come out really minty clean. And he read it out.
What a gnarler. How to upset every girl listening to this programme. What is your dishwasher called, guys?
Andrea.
Cool. Yeah, Martina.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's yours called, Mark?
Mine's called Ariston, actually.
Oh, you see what I mean? See, he's embarrassed, isn't he? What do you
Ariston, that's the stuff I squeeze in mine. That's what you squeeze in yours.
So mine's called Martina. Every time she walks, actually, it's become just a standing joke. We walk in the supermarket, and she looks at the washing tablets that you put in a dishwasher. Yeah. And she says, look, they're on special offer. I said, yeah, they look really good, don't they? She said, what? I said, they look really good on that display. It's a real shame to spoil them. And walk past. Yeah. Absolutely. Right.
Have you got a dishwasher?
No.
I haven't either. Have you, Mark?
Oh, fantastic. I tell you, you cannot imagine how wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Yes. Definitely.
What, a real one? Like
a real one.
One.
Bought it from eBay. What do you mean electric? Yes. Partly electric and water.
What is this,
and
you live in
That's 2 weeks on a row you've been banned from going to France, Lee.
Yeah.
Absolutely. No, mine's called Martina. I can't see any point. In any case, I'm being nice to her.
I am as well. I'll let her do something for a living.
Well, no, I'm just helping her with her exercise. She can go and stand up and wash up. No problem.
Oh, that's right.
So many complaints from feminist groups here. Yeah. All the feminist groups are listening to this. Mark Gander's got nothing to do with this conversation.
What's
Well, and the message and all the feminist groups, stop listening to us and get on with the washing up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, no.
What's the next headline, Lee?
Oh, what a banker.
No.
Don't miss one out. Oh, Eric, they can stop people aging and it doesn't have to involve death.
Really?
What?
Yeah.
Have you been looking? Well, I suppose at your age, you have been looking into this.
No, I did. I put this. I put one on for Mark and one on for you.
Oh,
this
right.
For you. I just wanted to make you feel like you were going to live forever.
Am I not?
Well, no, but there is a bit. There are what they call biomedical gerontologists.
Yes.
From in California. Yeah, they have discovered that there is an enzyme which they can use and will develop, which will allow us to live for at least 150 years. We're about 50% there to having this available to us, and it will cure the aging process, diseases that cause war.
Lee, pointless story.
Why?
Because it's not going to happen for 25 years. The three of us are going to be dead.
I might not be.
I won't be.
No, oh, I say.
It's you. Yeah. Right, me and Mark will be all right. We'll carry on doing. We'll do postcard. Forget Pop Rad.
Right, moving along. What a banker. And this one's apparently for Mark.
Yeah, well, I have to say, I got here very late, so I'm just trying to scan over this. But it's
I was trying to do
quite amazing because it seems that there's a young
Mark, just remembering the last story, Lee was trying to scan over it, but he hadn't got his glasses on.
Right, okay, well,
so make it sound as bad as I did when I was trying to scan over that one and make it look like a new one.
Well, look, here's a man who really he's fed up with banking. He's a banker. He's 32 and he lives in southern England. And good for him because he decided to pack up and to ship out and to make a career change. And instead of being a banker, he decided to go to South Africa, I think, and to become a Sangoma, which is a tribal witch doctor, which includes dancing at 2:30 in the morning to your tribal ancestors and vomiting up goat's blood. I mean, fantastic. So, I don't know how many pints of beer you have to do that before you start.
Hang on, Mark, there's no difference then. It's not a career change.
Sounds like me when I was a student, actually. And anyway, and when he asked why did he do this extraordinary thing and what have you, because his previous job had been advising banks on risk and information security and to train as a tribal witch doctor and enjoying himself vomiting the goat's blood. I mean, I suppose you have to actually eat a raw goat in order to do that. He said, it's not something you just decide to do. It chooses you rather than the other way around, and it's such a massive process that you don't enter into it lightly. And I think that must be true.
Talking about back to the serious news for a minute. EU to cut the cost of roaming mobiles. The European Union is introducing new rules. NB, this is for Europe only, sorry America, which will make it cheaper to use mobile and smartphones whilst abroad but within the European Union. It's a great story. It's a great bit of PR for the EU. The only thing I'll say to you, Mr. EU, the bills will go up next week on the standard tariffs.
They always find a way to
your rights as well.
I mean,
yeah,
whoever they are. Mobile and, companies, banks, whatever.
It is. Yeah, Coronation Street is just too gay. Says some silly old fool who claims to be knowledgeable about television.
I think. Did you mean me?
No.
Oh, right. Then I think it's a very, very good point, actually. I think it's a very good point. I have nothing, I am not homophobic in any way, shape, or form. Mm. But it just strikes me.
Especially when it comes to lesbians.
Well, exactly. Yeah. No, you can't lick that, I tell
you. No, yes.
I'm going to apologise to all the feminists out there.
Who are misses? Yeah, go on. But anyway, get on with it quick. We're running out of time.
Okay. Right, there are that many, gays and lesbians in Coronation Street. It's turned this quintessentially old English cobbled street in the back streets of Manchester into a gay village. Now, there's nothing wrong with a gay village, but why now has a quintessentially cobbled street in Manchester got to be represented by Sophie Webster and Sian Webster, two teenage lesbians, Barm and Sean Tully, a sort of 30-ish gay man, his boyfriend, who's in his 30s, Marcus Dent, Hayley Cropper, who's a transsexual, there is just there's Gail Platt's dad, Ted, who's a silver fox of the gay persuasion, Ken Barlow's long-lost grandson, James, who's a gay as well, and Todd Grimshaw, a brother in the street. Why has the half of the street had to be turned gay by the producers of the world's longest running soap opera?
Maybe they want to encourage gays to go to Manchester.
Gay community in Manchester is fabulous. I go down there quite a lot.
Hang on a minute. If you're telling me a soap opera set in Manchester is typical of the area, therefore it should have gay people in it.
You know what? I agree with you 100%. You're absolutely right.
So Brian Sewell, as per usual, is a plonker.
Brian Sewell, I quite like Brian Sewell. Bear in mind that Brian Sewell is actually bisexual.
He's amusing, yes, but that's about it.
He's amusing.
I'm the only heterosexual in the village.
Wait, the whole of Paris, Mark.
Sorry, that's a reference to Little Britain, for those that haven't seen it. Keep on rolling, Radio Ronnie. Good old Ronnie Wood.
Good old Ronnie Wood. He's doing his absolute radio show, hasn't he? I don't know if you've ever listened to it. It's absolutely amazingly funny and fabulous. And he's been one of two prizes for it. But then think about David Jensen.
Kid Jensen.
Kid Jensen,
a.k.a. Radio Luxembourg.
Yeah, he's what's he won now? He's won it for the Breakfast Show of the Year.
Yeah.
And he's also David Baddiel and Frank Skinner.
Yeah. They do a radio station on what I consider to be the most ridiculously named radio station on the planet. Who would call a radio station Absolute?
That's the thing, though, isn't it? Why wouldn't you call it Absolute Radio?
Once it makes a name for itself, I mean, if that works, and then...
I bet if you walk down the road in London or anywhere across the UK and do a survey of who remembers the name Virgin Radio or who remembers the name Absolute Radio, I'll bet you a pound to a penny that Virgin Radio would still be the winner.
Yeah, but Virgin's all over the place in all sorts of things. I mean, Virgin's coming
out
from...
Not nowadays.
Well, there might be a few Virgins now, but, I mean, you know, generally speaking... sorry, I didn't mean that.
Just thinking you've upset this week, Mark. You've upset Virgins, you've upset lesbians, you've upset the...
Absolutely. Well, anyway, let's give our congratulations to the whole group there, including Ronnie Wood, Christian O'Connell, David Baddiel, Frank Skinner, and also to David Kid Jensen, who dropped the kid several years ago when he was working at Capital. And with that, boys and girls, we have to take our leave of you. No doubt the debate about the news of the world PR will carry on next week. Until that time, it's time to say goodbye, guys.
Goodbye. It was the wooden tops on Friday, the wooden tops.
I don't believe it.
Spotty dog was on wooden tops.
From the heart of Europe to the world, this is RTI.